that we become a suitable base to be able to receive this initiation. So the bathing ritual we normally live would take a small bit of this blessed substance, put it in our mouths so we can imagine we're doing that, wiping any excess off on our bodies, and then spitting out whatever's left in our mouths. And we imagine that we've taken this special tantric bath, if you will, which then allows us to enter into the place where the teaching will be held, right? Normally we do it outside of the teaching space. Then you would enter where the initiation would be held. And then from the side of the student, you would make prostrations to the Lama, who is the manifestation of White Tara herself. So you would make prostrations. So the prostrations are preliminary. So I've engaged in the preliminary of bathing ritual and prostration. So now if everybody wants to just take a chance to do the prostrations, and then we'll move on with introductory prayers. And then that leads up to the next of the preliminaries from the side of the student, which is the mandala offering. So we have the bathing ritual, the prostrations, and then mandala offering. And then we will have requests for initiation and then bodhisattva vows. So those will be some of the order of preliminaries from the side of the student. There's also kind of a special preliminary that you'll find in the initiation where the Lama blesses the room and through his or her power, her in this case, because she is White Tara, allows us for a moment to generate ourselves as White Tara as we imagine the pure abode and everything. So there's a preliminary in there. So we'll go through that once we get to it. So just give me one moment and we'll get started with the actual prayer, preliminary prayers, which will then lead us to the mandala offering. And then we'll get started with the initiation proper. Okay. So the part that I spoke of is actually after the bodhisattva vow, where the Lama, through his, or her blessing, blesses us to be able to, for a moment, generate ourselves and to be in the pure abode of Tara. And then we go through the rest, and this kind of gives us another special kind of purification that then allows us to move forward with the various initiation through torma of life, etc. So it's all about purifying, making us more and more pure, and making us more and more suitable bases to be able to take on White Tara herself and become her. So this initiation takes us through these processes of strengthening our elements, purifying our misdeeds, purifying any obstacles, and getting us to a place where our body, speech, and mind have been, through this process of purity, transformed into the Vajra body, speech, and mind, pure body, speech, and mind. And then we're able to become White Tara. So this process is taking us through the abandonment of ordinary appearances, through which we are able to then purify ourselves as a basis to be able to become White Tara herself. So that's really what's going on in this initiation. As you go through all these stages, we're working our way up through purification to be able to be appropriate bases to take on the self-generation. Okay, so that being said, Rinpoche, chu kaba les. Yine the chran de ngondru the sarch, the tormala dene, the chran, the tormala dene, rubula dene, the chran leson. Deepa chambo lam lam ngena
motu chinga
jinsa then kanga lagu. Okay, all right. So Rinpoche, what's going on? Move this. Okay, so Rinpoche will be going through the initiation and through all the stages, and I'll take them through in English. So that's going to be the process today, as we've been doing recently. So this Waitara initiation comes from Waitara herself. There's a great lineage. There's a great story that we always tell. And I think it's important that no matter what, during the initiation, because that's a preliminary part within the actual initiation, that we talk about the lineage a little bit. So it begins with actually Waitara herself, who then it goes down to Bhagasvara Kirti, who then writes this text, Cheating Death, which is the main text that we use as a basis for the Waitara practice. And then eventually ends up through to the translator from Bari, who actually is Atisha's disciple. I found out he met a translator from Bari is a Lama translator, Lama, who met Atisha when he was 15 years old and became very, very moved. And almost like, it says almost like he was taken under a spell by Atisha. And then just became a great practitioner and then became a translator and so forth. But you find this story when you look up the Bari Lhotsawa and so forth, you find this within the stories of Waitara. So then it gets it goes down to these two people who become very important in the stories of Waitara, Lama Lengapa and Dipa Chembo. And so Dipa Chembo is someone who was a practitioner, and there was a yogi who came from the area of Ladakh who said, you know, you're going to have a very short life. They read his palm and said, you're only going to live for 3 more years or so. And this is as sure as any diagnosis at this point in time, you know. So it's definite. And he says, you better do something about this. And Dipa Chembo at that point had seen signs and dreams and had all these kind of experiences that led him to believe that this might be the case. This is why he goes to the palm reader. So then the palm reader says, you better make good use of your time. You know, you only have a few years left. You better do something spiritual. You better do something quick because you're going to die and you're not going to be very old. It'll be 3 years from now. So then he leaves. He goes out on the road to Usang to go find a spiritual master. And on the road, on the way there, looking for the spiritual master, he's not even sure who he's looking for. He's just going where he knows there's spiritual masters, right? So on the way there, he meets with someone named Lama Lengapa. And Lama Lengapa says, hey, how are you doing? They start up a conversation. And obviously, this whole thing's on his mind. He says, well, yogi, palm reader told me I'm going to die in a few years. So I'm looking for a spiritual teacher in order to show me what to practice during this very small block of time that I have. And Lama Lengapa said, well, we have a practice, but you have no problem because there's a method to cheat death. So then Lama Lengapa proceeds to give this Waitara initiation and all the practices to Dipa Chembo on the road and says, you don't really need to go anywhere. Where you are is fine. You need to just practice this Waitara right here. Everything that I've taught you, don't move. Don't go anywhere. Just practice this and you will have results. You'll achieve results and you'll cheat this circumstance that you've been told is your, your life. You know, you will cheat this 3-year kind of limit that's been set on you. So Lama Lengapa has inspired Dipa Chembo and has faith. So then goes through all the Dipa Chembo then practices all the instructions that were taught to him by Lama Lengapa. It says in Longlog, and it says that he, after about a month passed of practicing single-pointedly Waitara, he was able to actually see her face. And she came to him and told him that you're going to live to be 60 years old and benefit many, many beings. Now, I don't know in the story how old he was at this point, but it seems like that's a long lifespan, according to the story. Like, it's a big deal. He's going to live to 60 now. So I'd like to do more research to find out the actual age. But Rinpoche says he was quite young at that point in time, you know, whatever that means. So now Tara comes to him and says, you'll be 60 and benefit many beings. So Dipa Chembo continues to practice Tara with great faith. He gets to 60 and is not satisfied with dying at this point, and invokes Tara, and Tara comes to him. And he says, what do I do? You said 60. Here we are. You know, I've done what you said. I've done the practices. And Tara said, erect an image of me, and you'll live another 10 years. So he erects an image. And then she gets to 70, and she comes to him again and says, erect another image. So one of the images is a statue he erects, and the other is a painting. And it says the painting is still in Tibet. You can find it at Reding Monastery, the actual painting that was painted. And then he gets to 80, and he's, you know, does this thing again, like, all right, we're 80. You said I'm going to live to be this old. I don't want to die. He says, erect another image of me, and then says, you'll be okay. And doesn't say how long he'll live. And then the story goes that Dipa Chembo lives to 95 years old. So you see the power of this white Tara practice. He's actually having manifestations of white Tara come to him, you know, just to kind of qualify that it's actually working and that it's actually real, and then lives to be 95 in dependence upon this practice. So this is a story. And then we don't only find white Tara as a long life deity at all. White Tara is a wisdom deity. When we look at the life story of the first Dalai Lama, Gendun Drup, Gendun Drup relied on White Tara as his wisdom deity, and was able to produce great results. So obviously when we see all of these deities, I asked Rinpoche a lot of questions about this. You know, if I make a prostration to Tara, is this the same as doing one to of the 35 Buddhas? And if not, why not? You know, does a Buddha can't have more excellent qualities than another? So we talk a lot about these things, and we have to realize that the Buddhas are all equal in omniscience. The Buddha, if you are, you know, free from the afflictive obstructions and the obstructions to omniscience, then you necessarily are omniscient, and you no longer have, you know, the impediments that we have. So they're equal in that sense. Now, in terms of our connections to certain Buddhas, that can definitely be established. And we see that's why, you know, if we have faith in a certain Buddha, that's why that Buddha connects with us, because those causes and conditions are still in working for the Buddha as well. So the karma, the virtuous karma is reciprocal. Like we have to have the virtuous karma to be able to see the Buddha, right? And the Buddha has to then have that condition of us to have that faith to be able to be seen. So there's an interdependent relationship that's taking place there. And that's why the Buddha can't just wash away our sins with water and bless us in some way and make us all better. We have to participate, and the Buddhas can aid us in that journey as teachers, and then kind of do special things within that process, because of the swift path that's taught in Tantrayana. So I won't go in any further or begin to try to say that I have any kind of realization into these things, but I thought I'd share a little bit of that with everybody about the greatness of Tara. And now we'll go through the initiation proper. Rinpoche, the Ngatsu, the Jendun, the Cheran Lao Rona.
Yeah.
The Ditz Ditzku. So we didn't do the initial prayer. So yeah, we have to do that in order to, sorry, I got started. I saw Rinpoche cruising through the text and I started to get, I got onto his page and forgot that we didn't do the initial prayers, which is no problem. We just did some introductory stories about the lineage of Tara, which will help us to have more faith as we do these prayers. So we'll set our motivation that we're attending this initiation for the sake of all sentient beings, that we become Buddhists so that we can free every sentient being, all our friends, enemies, and neutrals from the ocean of cyclic existence, so that we can bring them to the other side, so that all sentient beings have the perfection of generosity, the perfection of ethics, the perfection of patience, the perfection of effort, the perfection of concentration, the perfection of wisdom. We wish that all sentient beings abide in that state of perfection, and that we can become Buddhas and as a result, quickly of attending this initiation and then quickly bring them to that state of perfection. So that is why we should be attending this initiation. This is a Mahayana teaching because it's Tantrayana. Mahayana is divided into perfection vehicle and tantric vehicle. This is tantric vehicle. And the tantric vehicle requires us to recognize the emptiness of the emptiness of action, agent, and object, and then that great compassion for all sentient beings, that wish for Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings that's been inspired by great compassion that wishes sentient beings be free from the suffering and the causes of suffering, that's brought on by love, which wishes that sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness, which then is brought on by the recognition that sentient beings have been our mothers, they've been kind to us, and we should repay that kindness. But none of that works if we can't establish a foundation of equanimity, of recognizing that our friends, enemies, and neutrals are of equal foundation in terms of our wish to benefit all sentient beings. So they are sentient beings. It's not like our enemy kind of moves out of that category. And when we say we want to benefit all sentient beings, we're speaking of everyone, friends, enemies, and neutrals. So we need to equally wish to benefit every one of those types of beings. Would anyone like to read the Heart Sutra? If not, give me a moment. Can you give me the Sutra of the Heart, the Sutra of Heart Transcendent Knowledge? Thus have I heard, once the Blessed One was dwelling in Rajagriha at Vulture Peak Mountain, together with a great gathering of the Sangha of monks and a great gathering of the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One entered the Samadhi that expresses a Dharma called profound illumination, and at the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, while practicing the profound Prajnaparamita, saw in this way. He saw the five sthanas to be empty of nature. Then through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son or daughter of noble family train who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita? Give me one moment. Just meditate on that question for a moment. Addressed in this way, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, said to Venerable Shariputra, O Shariputra, a son or daughter of noble family who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita should see in this way, seeing the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Form is emptiness, emptiness also is form, emptiness no other than form, form is no other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness are emptiness. Thus, Shariputra, all dharmas are emptiness. There are no characteristics, there is no birth and no cessation, there is no impurity and no purity, there is no decrease and no increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no formation, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no dharmas, no eye dhatu, up to no mind dhatu, no dhatu of dharmas, no mind consciousness dhatu, no ignorance, no end of ignorance, up to no old age and death, no end of old age and death, no suffering, no origin of suffering, no cessation of suffering, no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since the bodhisattvas have no attainment, they abide by means of Prajnaparamita. Since there is no obscuration of mind, there is no fear. They transcend falsity and contain complete nirvana. All the Buddhas of the three times by means of Prajnaparamita fully awaken to unsurpassable true complete enlightenment. Therefore, the great mantra of Prajnaparamita, the mantra of great insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequal mantra, the mantra that calms all suffering should be known as truth since there is no deception. The Prajnaparamita mantra is said in this way. Teata om gate gate paragate parasangate bodhisoha. And let us all recognize, I'm going to stop, that mantra and the five sentences before it are for bodhisattvas of sharp capacity who can see within that one mantra all the five Mahayana paths, the path of accumulation, the path of preparation, the path of seeing, the path of meditation, and the path of no more learning. So that's all of those stages are contained within the Heart Sutra. A bodhisattva of sharp capacity can read it in that mantra. And then, so we see all kinds of indications of that in the commentaries on the Prajnaparamita. So I just wanted to stop there. So we know when we're meditating on this, this is a meditation. The Buddha was teaching guided meditations, as I heard Robert Thurman so greatly say. These sutras are guided meditations, right? Guiding us through these stages of the Mahayana paths. What are those Mahayana paths? So in order for us to meditate on it, we really need to know what it means, right? It aids us to know what it means to meditate. Meditate is familiarization. We can familiarize ourselves with these stages so that we can then progress them. We can go through them. So sorry to stop it there. If I was an obstacle to someone's meditation, I apologize. But I think it's always important to look at these texts and to know what we're talking about. Okay. Thus, Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva should train in the profound Prajnaparamita. So how do you get to the other side? How do you get to perfection? Through these five Mahayana paths. Thus, Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva should train in the profound Prajnaparamita. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and praised Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, good, good, O son of noble family. Thus it is, O son of noble family, thus it is. One should practice the profound Prajnaparamita, just as you have taught, and all the Tathagatas will rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, Venerable Shariputra and Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, that whole assembly in the world, the gods, humans, asuras, and Gandharvas, rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One. Kala jibe ne jo damba ne nguje do jung a yi do do jen du pa bo la ma yi bu jin si ne zong gan ro zo la ja zi lo. Aga za ma ra da jan ro. Agasamara dejana razamara me de ada onga de gade baraga de barazanga de so baba gonte sanji gai de me toje she obo toje me bo toje she wa toje rage baje me de me jo danje je den ga ye so ge re no jo je jo je wa da si to ne be de na je wa da to ma don ji bon zon don jo ji da ji de jane na le le yo. We'll do refuge and then the outer mandala offering, and we'll go through the initiation.
Danye janan daji janala janjo badu danye jasu ji dagi jinye ji pesanan ji jala penje sanje jubasho sanje janan daji janala janjo badu danye jasu ji Dagi jinye ji be sanan ji jala penje sanje jubasho sanje janan daji janala janju badu dani jasu ji dagi jinye ji be sanan ji jala penje sanje jubasho.
The fundamental ground descended with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy lamas high, wrap the sky of your dharma bodies in massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, the shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide.
Yadam Guru Rana Mandala Gamni Radha Yami.
Okay, so at this point, we then imagine that through the power of the Lama, the entire place that we're abiding in is transformed into the pure land of Tara. We imagine that the Lama Rinpoche is the manifestation of White Tara herself, that the front generation is the manifestation of White Tara herself. All of the things we see around us, all of the enjoyments we have are the enjoyments of White Tara herself. The blessed substance of precious pill, precious nectar, precious torma are all blessed substances of White Tara herself. The bathing water has been blessed by White Tara herself. And we see the union of method and wisdom in everything that we do and visualize. At this point, through this power of the Lama, we imagine that we ourselves transform into White Tara. For just one moment, we imagine that all of the surroundings, we get a taste of what this visualization is this moment, but it's only through the power of the Lama that we're able to do this. We don't, at this point, have any power ourselves. We haven't been initiated. So we just imagine that at this point, everything turns into purity in terms of our abode, our enjoyments, and our bodies. At this point now, we repeat after the Lama, the Rinpoche, the Sanjay, Rinpoche, Dusun Sanjay, the Jendun. Okay, so please repeat after Rinpoche. So now we're saying we pray to the glorious Lama, who is the essence of the Buddha of the Three Times, to grant us the initiation into White Tara, the wish-fulfilling wheel. Dusam Sanjay Tamche Ji. Mo Paden Lama Yi. Dala Yi Shin Kolo Yi. Se Wang Samo Se Dusu. Dusam Sanjay Tamche Ji.
Mo Paden Lama
Yi. Mo Paden Lama Yi. Dala Yi Shin Kolo Yi. Se Wang Samo Se Dusu. Dusun Sanjay Tanche Chi. Oh, Baden Lama Yi. Dala Yi Shin Kolo Yi. Sewan Samo Sedusu. Now, the next part is where we visualize that all sentient beings fill up the sky around us. And we imagine that we gain this real fierce resolve that we want to free them. And we visualize also that the Lama is the manifestation of White Tara, the front generation is the manifestation of White Tara. And we imagine that in the sky, we vividly see all of the three jewels and the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, a merit field, and all of the sentient beings are around this merit field. And the sentient beings are there because we wish to free them. They are bases for our love, compassion, our extraordinary attitude, and our actual bodhicitta, our wish to become a Buddha to free them. So those sentient beings are there, and the merit field is there as a vehicle for us to be able to gain that actual realization, to be able to gain that goal of being able to free them all, to be able to be of utmost benefit to them. So we imagine this visualization, and then this merit field becomes witness to our bodhisattva vow. So we're taking the bodhisattva vow so that we can have this engaged bodhicitta. So we take on the task and we're actively engaging and taking on the task of freeing sentient beings through the process of becoming a Buddha as quickly as possible. So now we take the bodhisattva vows with the sentient beings and the merit field as our witness, with Tara at the center, surrounded by her retinue and so forth. Shantri Sambi Dhamma. So please repeat after Rinpoche. And so here we're going for refuge to the three jewels. We're acknowledging our sins. We're rejoicing the virtue of ourself and others. And we're saying that we must gain the rank of Buddhahood for the sake of sentient beings. And for that reason, I take on myself the vows of a bodhisattva. So that's basically the essence of what we're saying. The Yanjo Sun on Gonchu Sun La Dacha Che. Deepa Tanche Sususha. Jigela Jerang. Sanjay Shanchu Yiji Sun. Gonchu Sun La Dacha Che. Deepa Tanche Sususha.
Deepa Tamche Susosha. Drugila Jairam. Sanjay Chachi Vijayasong. So now imagine that you've taken, as a result of this love and compassion, the extraordinary attitude that you generated a desire to become a Buddha for the sake of sentient beings. That's aspiring bodhicitta. Taking the bodhisattva vow then makes it engaged bodhicitta. So now imagine that you actually have the 18 root and 46 secondary vows in your continuum of the bodhisattva. So now we can talk about the initiation. So the initiation has four categories. Initiation through life term, initiation through nectar of life, initiation through pills of life, and then the increasing of life. So the first category, and just as a side note, Rinpoche, if just any doubts in this process, I'm not only translating, Rinpoche has also given me permission now to give this initiation. So Rinpoche is giving the initiation, but Rinpoche has given me that special blessing. So I feel, because I have the text in front of me, I feel more comfortable doing more of it. So. Anyway, all right, so the initiation through life torma, there's three categories: summoning the scattered, healing the degenerate, and absorbing life. So we first start with summoning the scattered. This is summoning any scattered life force or life that's been taken off by demons or negative spirits or that just any kind of energy loss in that sense that we have. So we imagine that out of fierce love and devotion for our teacher, who is the manifestation of White Tara, light rays radiate out and touch the front generation of White Tara, and from the then on the front generation, the Amitayas sits on the crown, and at Amitayas's heart is a syllable three. So from a syllable three and this flask that's in the hands of Amitayas, we imagine that light rays pervade all the different worlds. So we imagine that light rays and nectar go from the Lama, and it's out of our fierce love and devotion, to the front generation, to the crown where Amitaya sits, to the bowl and the three, and then imagine it scatters to all the directions and then forms hooks. So these lights form hooks, and we imagine that it draws any of the life or merit that's been scattered or robbed or stolen off, or any life force that's been scattered off by demons or negative spirits, is then grabbed. And then we imagine that it's all summoned back in the form from these hooks in the form of skull bowls and flasks that are filled with this deathless life nectar. So it's that these bowls are coming back from all of the different worlds, right, that have been hooked by these streams coming from the crown of the front generation where Amitaya sits. So then these hooks come back to us, bring us these bowls of nectar. We imagine that it dissolves into the heart of the front generation, there where there's the wheel of life at the heart. So the front generation, we imagine there's a wheel. And then we imagine that from all parts of that front generation, nectar comes out, red and white, that enters through the top of our heads, which is called the Brahma hole. And it fills the entire inside of our body. And imagine that it grants us this kind of deathless life and cleanses away any negatives, obscurations, or diseases or impediments to life, and make sure that anything that's scattered is no longer. So we imagine that then that those red and white nectar fill the top of our heads, fill our bodies, and then we've been blessed in this way. The next is healing the degenerate. There's degeneration of three different things. First, degeneration of life. So we'll begin with that. So again, we imagine the same visualization from the self generation to the front generation to Amitayas and the flask. We imagine that iron hooks go out and summon all the elements, right? Earth, water, wind, fire, and space from all of the worlds. And any of our degenerated elements that need to be restored can now be restored. So we imagine that these hooks are grabbing first the earth element in the color of yellow. And we imagine that the hooks are grabbing the water element in the color of white. We imagine they're grabbing the fire element in the color of red, the air element in the color of green, and the space element in the color of blue. So we imagine that all these hooks are grabbing earth, water, wind, fire, and space in the colors as follow: yellow, white, red, green, blue. So we imagine that they've been hooked, and then the same process is happening where they dissolve into the front generation, the wheel at the heart of the front generation. And then we imagine that streams of nectar of deathless life flows out of the front generation and then fills the entire, that goes through the tops of our heads and then fills our entire bodies, cleansing away any negativities, diseases, obscurations. And we imagine that now all five elements that make up our body are firm again. And if we have any kind of weakening of the elements, we can die. Our earth element is responsible for our rigidity. We imagine that that's restored. Our water element is responsible for our hydration. We imagine that that's restored in its full form. Our fire element is responsible for our warmth. We imagine that we're at perfect warmth temperature in an elemental way. We imagine that our air element is then restored. If we don't have air, we can't breathe. We imagine that our space element is restored. If there's no space for the air to go through, right, we would also die. So we imagine that all of these elements are restored through this process. Next is healing the degeneration of strength or merit. Not having strength, we can die. Not having merit, not enough merit to stay in this human body. The human basis, it takes an enormous amount of virtue and merit in order to abide in it. And if we don't have enough of it, we can die. It's a lot of karma to stay here, a lot of good karma to be a human being and have all this nice stuff. And if we don't have enough merit to keep these things, we don't have enough virtue to keep these things, right? We won't. So here, this restores that. So now we imagine that the same kind of visualization and structure, it says identical. And we imagine that then, hold on one second. So then from Amitayus's flask and Amitayus, infinite light rays go to all the directions in the form of light and nectar, and gather all the strength of the great gods of Brahma and Indra, all the strength of the stars, the moon, and the planets. We imagine that all the strength of the empowerments of any master that's been given, all the wisdom of yogis, all the magical solutions, all the scholars of men, and everything, every scholar, every male or female scholar, everything a male or female scholar has ever known has now coming to us, right? So we imagine that these are all coming and in the coming to us, and they dissolve again into the front generation and then into the tops of our heads. And we imagine that then all of these blessings, right, are given to us, make us a more suitable basis and heal any degeneration of our strength and merit. That's the visualization there. Next is degeneration of vows or pledges. We make various vows when we are Buddhists, right? We make vows and we have pledges. So there's refuge vows, refuge commitments. There's commitments in the Action Tantra. There are no vows, but there's vows in the highest yoga tantra. So we all have a kind of a potpourri of these we've taken over the years, right? Bodhisattva vows. We've got a lot of commitments and a lot of vows that we've taken, or maybe not. You know, maybe we've just made personal commitments, right? So anyway, this is a restoration of that. You know, you don't have to be a Buddhist to say, hey, I want to be a better person. I've made this commitment, right? And then, like, you didn't maybe follow through to the best you could. Well, this will restore that commitment. So we can always look at this in a lot of different ways when we look at commitment and pledges and vows. And, you know, this is something that, you know, we can look at too. So now we again imagine that we're going to change it up a little bit. Again, from our
Hold on.
Okay, so now same through the fierce love and devotion of the guru, the from there goes nectar to the front generation, and from the front generation there's a syllable palm at her heart, right? That light radiates and invites the empowerment, the initiation of body, speech, and mind. Of all the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Dakas, Dakinis, et cetera, especially those connected to White Tara. So here we're fixing our vows and pledges, right? Our vows and pledges have with negativity, with our body, speech, and mind. So here we're gonna ask for our initiation for our body, speech, and mind to purify them. Now that we've purified our degenerated vow, strength and merit, so now we get to the point where we're going to transform our unholy body, speech, and mind, right, to a Vajra body, speech, and mind through this empowerment that we're getting from all of these deities and merit field and so forth, especially those connected to White Tara. So this is how we're becoming the most suitable basis to then absorb life, to become White Tara. So now, again, so what's happening is from this love for the guru, there's light rays going to the front generation. The front generation has this syllable tom. It's then sending out this invitation rays, if you will, invitation nectars and rays, right? It's inviting this initiation of body, speech, and mind. So we imagine that then all of these initiations come back and dissolve into the body, speech, and mind of the front generation, right? And we imagine they dissolve in the this order: white body, red speech, blue mind. So they dissolve into the front generation, and then we imagine that from the front generation, streams of white, red, and blue dissolve into the tops of our heads, right, and then purify our body, speech, and minds: heads, throats, hearts, body, speech, mind. We imagine that this white, red, and blue nectar fills our entire body, purifies any sins or obscurations or broken vows or pledges in relation to our body, speech, and mind. Everything from murders since we've done, anything since beginningless time we've done, is now been purified. And we imagine that our impure body, speech, and mind is then transformed into pure body, speech, and mind that then is ready to absorb life. Nene. Rimache, the chiku, dene the timba, the zahom bahu, the tanda. So now, Rimache, we imagine that the guru has then, from the love that the guru had, hold on. So the guru pushes like almost the front generation up over the top of our heads. So imagine that the front generation is then now kind of on the top of our heads. And we imagine that all kinds of streams of nectar of deathless life is filling our entire insides of our body. So we imagine that from this front generation that's now seated on top of our crown, that's been pushed there by the lamas kind of blessing, there's this deathless nectar going into our bodies, purifying our body, speech, and mind. And going through getting rid of any negativities, any misdeeds, anything we've done since beginningless time. And we imagine that all of these are emerging like a black, thick kind of soot and like come out of the pores of our bodies and like almost like smoke and soot. Imagine that anything that's remaining that hasn't been, you know, completely purified at this point is just leaving us, oozing out of us, smoking out of us, however best for you to visualize it. It's just coming out of us. As it's happening, our bodies are becoming pure and it's increasing and expanded. All our qualities of life, merit, and our understanding is becoming clearer. And then Rinpoche, it's Zahom Baho La.
No.
Okay, Rinpoche says Zahom Baho, and imagine that then you have been touched on the top of your head with this. Now, on the top of your head, you imagine that there are all of, is Waitara, right, that has been blessing us. Imagine always Waitara surrounded by her merit field, if you can. And then you imagine that a separate Waitara breaks off and then dissolves into you, and you become Waitara herself. And now you have the mantra of life without death. So now you imagine that you have absorbed Waitara, have become Waitara. And then, so that's fine. And then the initiation through nectar of life. This nectar has been blessed and been transformed into a deathless nectar. So we imagine that we've taken it, and it cures any degeneration of our channels, winds, drops, any impediments to life. And we have the mantra of life without death. So we imagine that we taste that. And the pills of life, these have been blessed and are the cure to all over 400 types of diseases. We visualize that when we eat it, all diseases that we could have are being cured. And then the final, which Rinpoche has already done, is the increase of life. And these are prayers where the Lama basically offers back to us flowers and offerings and rejoicing. And the verse is repeated where it says, may you perfect all of these different stages. May you perfect generosity. May you perfect ethics. May you perfect patience, perseverance, concentration, wisdom, etc. And then it is said, the last thing the Lama says is that you've now obtained the initiation into life. Be happy and vow that you will take from this day forward Waitara, the mother of conquerors, as your main deity. And you'll duly preserve your vows and pledges, both general and particular. So like vows, general vows, and in general, everyone the vows, but then particular ones to Waitara. So now, Rinpoche, the Tama, the Jendun. Okay, so now we repeat that whatever is we has been said to do, we will do. And Rinpoche, please repeat after me. Okay, so that concludes the initiation in Waitara. And yeah, does anybody have any questions or anything? We'll do the concluding prayers. Nothing? So I just want to make an announcement real quick while everybody thinks about sure they don't have questions. Rinpoche will be giving the Vajrapani Haryagriva Garuda blessing at the center outside on October 3rd. So that's a Sunday. It'll be at the normal time at 10. And hopefully we'll have good weather. And we'll be able to not have any obstacles to doing that. We're going to try and let everybody know in the Tibetan, let everybody know. It's, a very, very special blessing, particularly special. Not that it isn't more to us, but the Tibetans have a particular affinity in a lot of different regions of Tibet for this initiation. So we want to make sure we let everybody know that we're doing that as well. There won't be a ton of instruction on it, just so everybody is aware. From what I understand, in order to generate yourself as those deities, you have to have highest yoga tantra initiation already. But if you don't, you can take it as a blessing and then visualize them in the front and rely on them in that way. So everybody benefits greatly from it. Just want to make sure that everybody's aware of that part. And secondly, that I don't know that much about it. Rinpoche hasn't taught it, doesn't really teach much about it. So it will be more of a blessing than an informational activity. But you can look it up. There's information out there about it. It's just It's a little beyond my pay grade, so I accept that. All right. So if there aren't any questions, we will do the concluding stuff. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this is a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular the essential teachings of Venerable Lazandrapa, to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri, and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traversed three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, spiritual friend who trains sensibly in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Then also, I really encourage everyone. There's a documentary out. Maybe you've all seen it. I'm late to the party, but there's a documentary out. If you go to YouTube and then you go to what's called Tibet TV, and then you put in like Buxa, B-U-X-A, that's the British prison camp where after the monks and nuns and lay people came over, you know, from Tibet in 1959 when, you know, the war started. 1,300 of them or so ended up in what was called Buxa, a British prison camp. And they stayed there for 10 years. Rinpoche says the majority of his studies, when he looks at, you know, where he studied the most in his career, it was in that place. It's nice to, after you watch this documentary, to be able to speak with Rinpoche a little bit about it and to see his take on it, because the conditions were horrible when you hear about it. They had food initially, and then food became scarce. Then they had to go work out on the road, some of them. And there was really a shortage of scholars at that point. This isn't as talked about as much, but it is a little bit touched upon. It wasn't everybody took pity on the monks and nuns. There were some nuns there, I think 30 or so kajins, took pity on the ones who had to live there. It wasn't a high status situation. So the high teachers didn't live there. So Khensur Pema Jetsun and Zong Rinpoche stayed, and they taught the monks, and they had classes that they sectioned out so they could continue their education. And it really shows in this documentary how hard it was. Monks committed suicide. The chanting master for Sarah committed suicide. It was very, very hard, and teachings were hard. They had to share pages of books. They didn't have books, they had pages that they would share and pass around amongst each other. And you look at the amount of effort that went on, it's incredible. And then you speak with Rinpoche about it, and he says, it was where I did most of my studies. It was good. He laughs about it a little. And you wonder why some could have such a terrible experience, and some were able to get through it. And you see it's the Dharma practice. You see that Rinpoche just didn't stop debating. He stayed next to Khensur Pema Jetsun, stayed next to Zong Rinpoche. He tutored his students. Geshe Gompo was there, and they just did what they did there. And that's all that mattered to them. It's when other stuff matters that things like outside stuff gets in the way to such a degree that it causes depression. So it's really interesting for me to see just the kind of different takes people had on their experience, and then speak with Rinpoche about his experience. He's very clear about it. You can speak for hours about Buxa and the teachings and how they broke it up, and then and how it all went. But it's about an hour long documentary. It's in, there's subtitles in English. There's some great Geshes that give talks, talk about their time there. And I think we owe it kind of to Rinpoche to all kind of know that part of his history. And I didn't know as much of it, even though he's told me about it a lot, because I only know it as kind of the jovial side, right? That he talked about it as like camaraderie and, you know, a few people had a hard time, you know, but it really wasn't as that. And they were kind of told nobody wanted to leave Buxa at the end because they were getting fed at least and they had gotten comfortable there. And they were wanted them to move down to South India and start the monasteries. So someone actually came and like told a story, said, oh, there's stuff there. You'll get there. There's going to be trumpets and, you know, it's going to be great. There's all these people with faith and practitioners. And they got there and they said it was just fields and stumps and there was nothing. And they had to make it happen. And it says that if it wasn't for Kensar Pema Jetson, who was the abbot of Losaling and Zong Rinpoche, that there would be no Ganden and no Drepung in South India. And they went from, so Rinpoche said, I'm just giving you this context so now you can see it and you'll be like, oh. So when they got there, there were about 300 members or so of Drepung trying to build what is now, you see this magnificent Drepung Gomang Losaling Rato. There were about 300 of them, 20 scholars. Rinpoche was one of them. 20. I said, how many, let's talk real. You know, you have 300 there. How many scholars? How many, you know, like Ken Rinpoche, Gen Yatso, how many of those? 20. And he names them and they're all the ones we know, like, you know, the ones from like, who's been teaching, you know, like the big teachers who've been teaching that were around. It's not necessary to be like, well, this one was, it's just, there were 20, there weren't a lot. And, you know, it's just magnificent that we're here. And how many of those 20 are alive? It's a few. Couple. Again, Lozon Dunju is in the nunnery in South India, Rinpoche's age. Again, Paul Dendrapa is in South India. Great, great, great. He made it so the debates really continued to go on and help them with Madhyamika class. He's actually, you can watch some of his teachings. There's a teaching from 2019 translated by Geshe Lobsang Tenzin by Geshe Paulden Drapa at the Losaling website. He teaches emptiness, incredible explanation of emptiness. I really encourage you to watch that. And that was one of Rinpoche's contemporaries, but also kind of their tutor in a way. It was like a class or so ahead. Rinpoche was really, really bright at the time, so he didn't require as much assistance, but he helped a lot of the other monks, assisted them. So Rinpoche considers him very kind to their class. And he's one of the greatest scholars alive. And he's 90, he's like, I don't know how old, 80, late 80s, 90, he's just teaching, like, you know, he's going for it. I don't know now, this was a few years ago, but you should check it out, it's great. So Drepung Losaling, I think, did it. But you can find it, just put Geshe Paulden Drapa in and you'll see it, it's not too long. Great translation. Geshe Lobsang Tenzin is one of the greatest scholars in Tibetan Buddhism and English language, right, together. So you can't beat that. So anyway,
Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff. That was it. So thank you everybody for sticking around. I just wanted to make sure I said that about the Buxa documentary.
Kate has a question.
Oh, Kate's got a question. Well, I can't hear anything. Are people talking and I'm not hearing it?
No.
Oh.
Just this one time. Okay. Jackie Healy has a question.
Can't hear it. I'm going to need a phone or something.
I'll translate. Tell Kate to say it and I'll translate.
Okay, you're going to talk and then Lori's going to tell me what you said. I know this is preposterous, but I can't hear you.
It's in the chat.
It's in the chat.
Yeah, Jackie Healy has a question and it's, thank you for the initiation. Are there any requirements we need to do after taking it?
Are there requirements for the initiation?
Are there any requirements we need to do after taking it? Is saying a certain number of mantras to do daily, for example.
This initiation or the new one?
No, this one, the White Tara.
Okay, Rinpoche, the Dzongkhar Tsewang, the Chiran, the Dzongkha Gu Lasan Lamasan, Tranka, the Dzongkha Nima Dakpa, the Dang, the Lasan, Kelen Sun.
Not
the console, Google, Dancy,
So Rinpoche hasn't given any specific commitment, but if he said, if you can do it every day, it would be good. If you can do it all the time, it would be good. But he hasn't given a specific commitment for mantra numbers or anything. And there are some commit, like kind of general commitments that you can find within Action Tantra, right? Like, so if you look at the book Deity Yoga, I think that you'll see some of them, or all of them in there. Excuse me. But those are general, not particular, general to this Action Tantra.
Okay, thank you. And now Stasha has a question.
I can hear if I'm over here, so I'm just going to hang here.
Oh, hello. Thank you for the initiation, as always, and translating and everything. I just would like to say, maybe consider recording some of these conversations that you have with Rinpoche, so that we have them for our center and possible, maybe autobiographies in the future.
Yeah.
I think they would be really amazing, for us as students to hear and see you and Rinpoche talk about those things and Buxa. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts for enduring all of that for every sentient being.
And Rinpoche knew all the people being interviewed, except I think one, maybe, but all of them he knew in the Buxa film, going back to that. And I just want to make something clear. I have no intention of giving White Tara initiations. I just wanted to let Rinpoche conveyed that to me. He's here. I wanted to convey that to you, just because that was what was said to me. So, but I have no intention whatsoever of at this point in time of doing that, because there's no reason to, because Rinpoche is here. So there's absolutely no reason to do that. But right on. We're good. Everybody's happy. Happy Sunday. Good. Right on. All right. We will see you when we see you, right? Next time. We'll go through is everybody watching the Dalai Lama teaching the Madhyamika Avatara? Dalai Lama's just gave a 2-day teaching on Chandrakirti's entrance to the middle way. It's the book we're studying every week, right? Dalai Lama gave a 2-day teaching on it. It's translated beautifully. So I encourage everybody to check that out too. He's just finished it up 2 days. Rinpoche actually watched it in Tibetan. He was so happy to see how healthy the Dalai Lama was and just how just going for it he was. So, all right, I'm going to stop talking now. Bye.